Blog Talk Radio.
Radio's Unveiling the Mysteries of the Bible. This program is brought to you live by the JC Overcomers Ministries out of Nebraska City, Nebraska, and I'm your hostess, Cheryl Fisher. During these programs, I want to share with you some of the treasures I've found during my treasure hunt into the Word of God and some of the miracles I have seen along the way. Tonight, we're continuing a study on the word flame. But before we get into that, I want to open this up with prayer. And tonight, I'm going to be lifting up Psalms 51, verses 9 to 14, and the Lord's Prayer. I need to make a note of something here. Praise God. All right. Psalms 51, 9 to 13, not 14. Sorry, I was looking at the wrong one. Change that. All right. Psalms 51, verses 9 to 13, and then the Our Father. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Lord, I thank you so much for another chance to come on Blog Talk and get into the scriptures. I lift this time up before you, Lord. I ask you to send your spirit out and draw in whoever it is that you want to be here tonight as we get into these scriptures. And Lord, I ask you also to send your spirit out and draw in those that you want to hear this in the archives later on as well. Lord, I ask that your perfect will is done here tonight. I ask you to guide my thoughts and my words that I can go exactly in the scriptures where you want me to go and say the things that you want me to say. Help me to flow in your spirit the way you desire for me to. And I thank you for it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Praise God. And I want to thank you also. I heard from my mom today, and Lord, I thank you that she's feeling better. I just ask you to strengthen her and help her to do the things that seem to have been laid on her shoulders, Lord. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. All right, tonight we are going to get back into the book of Daniel, chapter 7. We're still there trying to figure this one out. I'm not making any guarantees. If the Lord doesn't open it up, the understanding will not come. So I'm just going to get in there and see what happens. Praise God. Daniel chapter 7. We'll put that in the chat room. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 1. We were talking about this last night, and we got into the scriptures on the four beasts and looked up all the scriptures outside of the book of Daniel that actually talk about the four beasts. And those scriptures were in the book of Revelation. And so we looked at all of those. Now we're going to go back into Daniel chapter 7 and take a look at what it says there. And hopefully with the things that we saw in with the four beasts in the book of Revelation, maybe we'll be able to put some of this together. All right, Daniel 7, verse 1 says, "In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters." It says, "Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea." And when I looked that up, those words in the Hebrew, it makes it sound as if here's the Spirit of God fighting against the spirit of the great sea, the ones that are of the sea. And that kind of fits in here because these beasts rise up out of that sea. And so it looks like the Spirit of the Lord is fighting against the ones that are going to raise up. Verse 3 says, "And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings." Okay, there is a picture on the internet of someone that looks like a lion with eagle's wings. And it makes me wonder if that, and I think it's the Assyrian that is that picture, and it just kind of makes me wonder if that doesn't fit in here somewhere, because the guy looks like a lion. I think he's got the face of a man, and he's got wings. I don't know if it's eagle wings or not, but that could, the reason they drew that picture could have come from the scriptures, and I'm not sure. Anyways, here it says, "The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings." It says, "I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked." Now, when you're looking at eagle's wings in the scriptures, let's take a look at what all the scriptures talk about eagle's wings, because we are carried on wings of eagles when we're carried by the Spirit of God. So let me see if I can find some scriptures on eagle's wings. I put in eagle and wing, and it pulled up 10 different ones. So let's take a look, because these wings, it says in Daniel 7, verse 4, "The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked." So these particular eagle's wings get their feathers plucked from the sound of things. It says, "I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it." All right, to me, this one here, the picture that I get from this is that you've got like an angel of the Lord that comes and dwells within a man, and so it's no longer flying. It's like when Satan came and went into Judas. the wings, as long as he's dwelling within Judas, he would not be flying. That spirit would not be flying. He was possessing Judas. And it makes me wonder if in this picture, if that isn't why it talks about the wings being plucked. There's just several different things that when we look at this and think about it, it makes me wonder. It says, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. And then it says, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man. Okay, so here, it, instead of it having the eagle's wings, those wings got plucked, and now it's as a man instead. It says, I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. So must be the spirit of the devil that actually went into a man, and now a man's heart is given to it. Could Satan be possessing this person? I'm not sure, but that's a possibility here, because it says the first was like a lion and had his eagles, had eagle's wings, but those wings get plucked. Okay, so let's take a look at these other scriptures that talk about eagles' wings and see if there's anything in these that might give us an idea what God is talking about. Because remember, there's clues all the way through the scripture as to what different scriptures talk about. All right, let's go to Exodus chapter 19 is the first scripture that comes up with the wing and the eagle. That's going to be Exodus chapter 19, and we'll go to verse 1 to keep it in context. Exodus 19, verse 1 says, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. So this is directed to the house of Jacob and the children of Israel. Well, the house of Jacob is the children of Israel, because Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and so all the tribes of Israel came out from Jacob. They are his family. That's where they came from originally, was from Jacob. That's why he had 12 sons, and there are 12 tribes of Israel. Praise God. All right, so it says in verse 3 of Exodus 19, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. So right here, it shows this picture, this type and shadow of God himself carrying people on eagle's wings. So if you stop and think about it, if those wings are plucked, does that mean God's no longer carrying that individual any longer? Okay? That's just something to think about. I don't know if that's what it's talking about, but it's possible, because it says, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. This picture of eagle's wings is a picture of the Spirit of God carrying individuals, okay? Praise God. It says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Okay, so being born on, being carried on eagle's wings, shows a picture of the Spirit of God carrying individuals. Let's go to our next one on eagle and wings. This is going to be in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 and verse 11. That's Deuteronomy 32 and verse 11, but I think I need to back it up. Yeah, here's this is also talking about Jacob. So we're going to start this one also in verse 1. This is Deuteronomy 32 and verse 1. And it says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew." That's why when God pours out the early and the latter rain, that is actually his word that is falling upon us. On Pentecost, that's what come down. It was the word of God. And that's why there was a rushing mighty wind and the place was shaken because that's what the word does. The word comes with the breath of God, that breath of life. It says, "My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." And this picture also, flesh is called grass within the scriptures in different places. And so, you know, you've got the showers upon the grass. Well, that's the spiritual rain coming down upon man. Verse 3 says, "Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will shew thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings." Now here again you have this picture of an eagle bearing people, carrying them on her wings. There's scriptures that talk about the wings of the wind, how we're carried upon the wings of the wind. That's the Spirit of God that holds us up so we don't dash our foot against the stone. Praise God. So it says, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him." So this is showing that just as an eagle does, protecting her chicks, covering them, and also carrying them on her wings, God does this with us. It says, "So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him," now this is talking about Jacob, "he made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the field. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock." You know, while I was reading this, the Lord was reminding me of how Lucifer was changed as a man. And let me see if I can find that scripture, because I'm wondering if as Lucifer was made as a man, if that doesn't fit in with this scripture in Daniel chapter 7. It just kept on my mind while I was reading this other verse about the eagle wings. All right. This is in Isaiah 14. Hey, Greg, it's good to have you in the chat room. This is in Isaiah 14. Praise God. Let me see where I want to start it. Let's just start in verse 1 and see if this doesn't match up a little bit with Daniel chapter 7. Because remember, it says in verse 4 of Daniel 7, it says, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And many times within the scriptures, Satan is described as a lion. Over and over and over. Because remember, he tries to replace God in every way. And here you have, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And if you stop and think about it, to begin with, Satan was one of the covering cherubs with the wings. And in this picture, when he rebelled against God, I wonder if that isn't part of this picture with his wings being plucked. Because he rebelled against God, and so he's no longer considered to be the angel of the Lord like he was at one time as a covering cherub. And those covering cherubs had six wings each, if I remember right. Praise God. So I'm just trying to sort this picture out, but it would fit that this could actually be the same one that is talked about in Isaiah 14, Lucifer being cast down. Because remember, Satan entered into Judas to begin with, all right, and took him over and led him about. It says here in Daniel 7, verse 4, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. And it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. The part about being lifted up from the earth, when we worship something that is not truth, we actually are worshiping Satan instead of God. And so we actually lift him up in place of Jesus Christ. So that also would fit that part of the scripture. And then it says, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And here we have in Isaiah chapter 14, let's go there, because I think this just might fit in with this picture, praise God. Isaiah 14, let me put that in the chat room. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 1. Basically, Greg, what I'm trying to do is figure out what Daniel chapter 7 is talking about. See if there's any way we can sort this thing out. Praise God. If it's God's timing, it'll start opening up. If it's not, it won't. Isaiah 14, verse 1 says, for the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land, and the stranger shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased the golden city? Notice it's talking about the king of Babylon, but it's also talking about him being an oppressor and golden city. Well, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, is that great city that gets cast down. And so here it's talking about the king of Babylon, and then it's going to turn around and talk about Lucifer. And it makes it sound like they're one and the same in the spirit. It says, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. And remember, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, was also considered to be a great oppressor of the children of Israel. And here the king of Babylon is also considered this oppressor. It says, the Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the ruler. So here he's talking about a staff and a scepter as well. And the king of Babylon, it says, he who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindereth. Here it shows that this king of Babylon is also the one that smote the people in wrath. Well, when God cast Satan down from heaven, the scriptures talk about how he brings his wrath with him. And he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Let me see if I can find that scripture. Take me a moment, if I can find it, that is. Yeah, here it is in Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12 and about verse 12. Yeah, we'll do this one. Revelation 12:12 says, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And it says, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Okay, so here you have this picture of the devil and the dragon being one and the same, and he's cast down, and he has great wrath. Okay, let's look at this one in Isaiah 14, because it's the same picture all over again. Verse 4 says, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindereth. Notice how he's the one that's going to get persecuted. It says, the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees. Remember, this is after the rest of the Lord. This is at the end time. So, of course, this is also when the devil is cast down. It says, the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. Here again, look at this word, raised up. And in Daniel chapter 7, verse 4, it talks about, it was lifted up from the earth. And here it's talking about raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. So if that spirit is in those kings of the nations, then it would fit that this is raised up here. It says, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? art thou become like unto us. And in Daniel, it talks about a man's heart was given to it, and it was made to stand upon the feet as a man. And you're going to see in here with Lucifer, it talks about him becoming as a man. I don't know if this is the same picture or not, but there are big coincidences here. And so I just want to point this out. Okay, it says, verse 10 of Isaiah 14 says, all they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as wheat? Art thou become like unto us? Remember, a man's heart was given to this, the lion one with the eagle's wings. The wings were plucked and then stood on his feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to him. It says, all they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? It says, thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread unto thee, under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? See, first it's talking about him being the king of Babylon, and now you find out it's talking about Lucifer. And God does this within the scriptures over and over and over again. The exact same one, he'll put a whole bunch of different names on him. Just like Lucifer, Satan, the dragon, Pharaoh, they're all one and the same. The serpent, that's all talking about the same spiritual being. It says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. So remember, he's exalting himself, trying to replace God in every way. That would fit where it did have the eagle's wings, but those wings get plucked. He's not going to be exalting himself anymore. Verse 14 says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And the Most High has eagle's wings that carries us. Praise God. He gives this picture of the Most High carrying us on eagle's wings. Okay? It says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners, and the kings of the nations, even all of them lie in glory, everyone in his own house, but thou art cast out of thy grave, like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. It says, prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise. There's the words rise again, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor till the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon. Here's Babylon again. He went from Babylon to Lucifer, and then back to Babylon again. And it says, for I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bitter and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay, let me see if I need... Okay, yeah, as we go on in here, it turns it, and now it's calling it the Assyrian. Verse 24 says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land. Okay, we have this picture on the internet of the Assyrian as a lion with eagle's wings. There is a picture let me see if I can find it. If I can find something really fast, I'll post it in here. Yeah, I don't see anything. There was one in, like, in the hieroglyphs, you'll see this picture of, I think it's like a lion, and it has eagle's wings, and it's actually, there it is. Oh, praise God. Yeah, it is. It is just like a lion. And it talks about Ezekiel's vision. Okay, I'm going to find the link for this, and I'm going to post it in the chat room. Praise God, because this is what was coming to mind as I was reading in the book of Daniel. That is the link for the image that I just pulled up. And it has the face of a man, but it is the body is a lion, and it has wings. Don't know whether it's eagle's wings or not, but it sure fits with this scripture. Praise God. So if you want to go to that link, just click that in the chat room. Praise God. Awesome. So it is fitting in. That does sound like the, because here it says it's the Assyrian. Because it says that I will break the Assyrian in my land and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. And in here you have this one that's a beast that rises up out of the sea. Well, God's going to show him. Here you have, here in this picture in Isaiah 14, one time it's called the Assyrian, one time it's called the King of Babylon, another time it's called Lucifer. But it's all one and the same. And he has his own staff and his own rod versus the staff and rod of the Word of God. Praise God. Okay. Isaiah 14, verse 25 says that I will break the Assyrian in my land and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purpose, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Praise God. Then it goes on and talks about the fiery flying serpent in the same chapter. In Isaiah 14:28, it says, in the year that King Ahaz died was this burden. Rejoice not thou, the whole Palestina, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken. Because remember, that rod is his word. That is the staff and rod of the king of Assyria, Lucifer. Okay, but watch what it says here. Here's a clue to the other beast that's coming up. It says, rejoice not thou, whole Palestina, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken. Now watch this. For out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. Almost sounds like this picture of the tree that is talked about in the book of Daniel, how that tree gets cut off, gets chopped down, but he leaves the stump of the roots in the ground. And so it can grow back up again. And here it says, for out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. So you went from the king of Babylon to Lucifer to the Assyrian to the serpent, all in within the same picture. Praise God. And it says, and the firstborn of the poor shall feed, and the needy shall lie down in safety, and I will kill thy root with famine, and he shall slay thy remnant. Howl, O gate, cry, O city, thou whole Palestina are dissolved, for there shall come from the north a smoke, and none shall be alone in his appointed times. Now look at the picture of Palestina gets dissolved. That's a picture of our flesh getting dissolved and God absorbing us. As we die, he changes us into his life. And here it says, whole Palestina art dissolved. And God is going to dissolve all the earth, heaven and earth, both, and change it. Praise God. And here you've got this picture as Palestina art dissolved. It says, howl, O gate, cry, O city, thou whole Palestina art dissolved, for there shall come forth, there shall come from the north a smoke, and none shall be alone at his appointed times. What shall one then answer the messengers of the nation that the Lord hath founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall trust in it? All right, so it is looking like that that one that is the lion in verse 4 is a type and shadow of Lucifer and the king of Assyria. Praise God. Not positive yet, but it's sure looking like it. And you know, in that picture, he has the face of a man, and in Daniel 7, verse 4, he's given a man's heart. So it would fit that he would have a man's face. That would fit. Praise God. Okay, let's look at some more on these eagle wings and see if we get some more clues about that and the plucking of those wings. Praise God. If God changes him from being an angel and changes him to a man, that would fit where he wouldn't have those wings. Those wings would be plucked. Praise God. All right, so, Proverbs 23 is another one with the eagle's wings. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 1. And it says, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. So this appetite it's talking about, we don't want to receive false doctrine, because it says deceitful meat. Okay, well, the word of God is supposed to be the meat from God. Okay, and if it's deceitful meat, it would be a lie instead, something that's trying to deceive us. And notice it talks about, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. We don't want to eat the lies of the enemy. It says, be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Now, this fits in with the, our goal is not to be rich in the world. Our goal is to have the riches of the kingdom of God instead. Because remember, the love of money is the root of all evil in the scriptures. So he wants us to have our desires set on heaven instead. Verse 5 says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Now here, you talk about a different picture here. It shows riches fly away as an eagle toward heaven. And we already saw the other scriptures where it talks about an eagle carrying his children, and God as that eagle carrying his children. So here's a different eagle that is following along with riches. And it says, let me pull it up again. Verse 5 says, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. And remember, the love of money is the root of all evil. So that would be connecting us to the other tree through the love of money. And that would also fit with connecting to Satan. Praise God, because he would be that root. And here it shows him also having the wings of an eagle. They fly away as an eagle. Not that they, that is the eagle, but it's as an eagle. Just like Lucifer tries to be as God. He tries to make himself as God. And that lion, it was as or like a lion. The first was like a lion in Daniel 7, verse 4. It wasn't that it was a lion. It was like a lion, because remember, Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's not like a lion. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So Lucifer or Satan tries to replace God in every way. So it would fit that it would be like a lion. Praise God. But it's not actually a lion. All right, let's go back to Proverbs 23, verse 5 again. It says, "Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven." Not that it is an eagle, but as an eagle toward heaven. "Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meat. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." And here it's talking about the heart again, too. Praise God. All right. Oh, let's go one more verse. Verse 8 says, "The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words." It talks about the table of vomit. Tables being full of vomit. So here, if it's deceitful words, he's putting that connection to the vomit again. Praise God. All right, let's go to the next one that talks about eagle and wings. This is in Isaiah 40. And about verse 31. In fact, we'll do verse 31. Praise God. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles." Now here again, this is as eagles, not actually eagles' wings. It says, "Shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." So here again, we've got this scripture connecting the Lord and the eagle wings. Okay, let's look at another one in Jeremiah. Praise God. Jeremiah 48 and about verse 40. Jeremiah 48 and about verse 40. Let me see if I need to back it up. Yeah, I think I do, to keep it in context. Let's see. Let's go to verse 35 of Jeremiah 48. It says, "Moreover, I will cause to cease in Moab, saith the Lord, him that offereth in the high places, and him that burneth incense to his gods. Therefore mine heart shall sound for Moab like pipes, and mine heart shall sound like pipes for the men of Kirhariz, because the riches that he hath gotten are perished. For every head shall be bald, and every beard clipped. Upon all the hands shall be cunnings, and upon the loins sackcloth. There shall be lamentation generally upon all the housetops of Moab, and in the streets thereof. For I have broken Moab like a vessel wherein is no pleasure, saith the Lord. They shall howl, saying, how is it broken down? How hath Moab turned the back with shame? So shall Moab be a derision and a dismaying to all them about him. For thus saith the Lord, behold, he shall fly as an eagle." Now, here's Moab that shall... No, wait a minute. No, it's the Lord. It says, "For thus saith the Lord, behold, he shall fly as an eagle and shall spread his wings over Moab." So it must be the Lord that it's talking about. It says, "For thus saith the Lord, behold, he shall fly as an eagle and shall spread his wings over Moab. Kiriath is taken, and the strongholds are surprised, and the mighty men's hearts of Moab at that day shall be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. And Moab shall be destroyed from being a people, because he hath magnified himself against the Lord." So here's, this is the Lord coming as judgment looks like. as that eagle. It says, and Moab shall be destroyed from being a people because he hath magnified himself against the Lord. Fear in the pit and the snare shall be upon the inhabitant of Moab, saith the Lord. Well, that one that's spreading the wings, that may not be the Lord. That may be the judgment of God that he's talking about here instead of the Lord. It may be his wrath instead. Because it says, fear in the pit and the snare shall be upon thee, O inhabitant of Moab, saith the Lord. That's the spirit of the enemy. It says, he that fleeth from the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that getteth up out of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For I will bring upon it, even upon Moab, the ear of their visitation, saith the Lord. They that fled stood under the shadow of Heshbon because of the force, but a fire came forth out of Heshbon, and a flame from the midst of Sihon, and shall devour the corner of Moab, and the crown of the head, and head of the tumultuous ones. Woe be unto thee, O Moab, the people of Chemosh perished, for thy sons are taken captives, and thy daughters captives. Yet I will bring again the captivity of Moab in the latter day. So it's captivity, saith the Lord, thus far is the judgment of Moab. So it sounds like the spirit of the enemy is as those eagle wings and that one. All right, the next one is in Jeremiah chapter 49. Let me put that in the chat room. That's Jeremiah chapter 49. Now remember, God uses the devil as his judgment. And so if the devil is does have that picture of having eagle's wings, that would fit in Daniel chapter 7. Praise God. And remember, he does try to replace God in every way. Jeremiah chapter 49 and about verse 22. But we're going to have to back it up to get this picture also. Goodness, I'm not sure where to start. I'm still looking. Let's go to verse. Goodness. Verse 10 of Jeremiah 49 says, but I have made Esau bare, I have uncovered his secret places, and he shall not be able to hide himself. His seed is spoiled, and his brethren and his neighbors, and he is not. Okay, that picture of making bare, that's exposing sins. It says, but I have made Esau bare, I have uncovered his secret places, and he shall not be able to hide himself. His seed is spoiled, and his brethren and his neighbors, and he is not. That picture of having the seed spoiled is like being hooked to the wrong tree, and it's a spoil instead of having the life of God. It says, leave thy fatherless children, I will preserve them alive, and let thy widows trust in me. For thus saith the Lord, behold, they who trust, they whose judgment was not to drink of the cup have assuredly drunken, and art thou he that shall altogether go unpunished? Thou shalt not go unpunished, but thou shalt surely drink of it. All right, this cup that it's talking about is a cup of punishment. Just like in the book of Revelation, it talks about the cup, I think it's cup of iniquities, and it gets poured back down upon them. And here it says, art thou he that shalt altogether go unpunished? Thou shalt not go unpunished, but thou shalt surely drink of it. Verse 13 says, for I have sworn by myself, saith the Lord, that Bozrah shall become a desolation, a reproach, a waste, and a curse, and all the cities thereof shall be perpetual waste. So this is judgment of God coming down. And when he gives them over to the spirit of the devils, that makes them a waste. It says, I have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent unto the heathen, saying, gather ye together and come against her and rise up to the battle. For lo, I will make thee small among the heathen and despised among the men. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle. Here again is the devil lifting himself up on high. Praise God. So there's that picture. It says, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. And eagles make their nests in clefts of rocks many times. And so that would fit there. It says, I will bring thee down from thence, just like Lucifer was brought down. And though thou make thy nest as high as the eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. Also, Edom shall be a desolation. Everyone that goeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss at all the plagues there. That's judgment. That sounds like the day of the Lord. It says in verse 18, as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, no man shall abide there, neither shall a son of man dwell in it. Behold, he shall come up like a lion. There it is again. There's that, like a lion, just like in Daniel. It says, behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan against the habitation of the strong. That would be the enemy coming against those that have the strength of the Lord, sounds like. Not sure yet. It says, against the habitation of the strong, but I will suddenly make him run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? That her sounds like the church. And Jesus is the one that is appointed over the church, praise God, because we are his bride. It says, behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan against the habitation of the strong, which to me that sounds like the church, but I will suddenly make him run away from her because he tries to completely take over the bride of Christ, the devil does, and God will come and defend us, praise God. It says, but I will suddenly make him run away from her, and who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? And who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before me? Praise God. Therefore, hear the counsel of the Lord Therefore, hear the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Edom, and his purposes that he hath purposed against the inhabitants of Teman. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. See, here's the flock. So it was talking about the church. It says, surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitations desolate with them. The earth is moved at the noise of their fall. Here again is the fall of the enemy. It says, the earth is moved at the noise of their fall, as at the cry of the noise thereof was heard in the Red Sea. At the cry, the noise thereof was heard in the Red Sea. Behold, he shall come up and fly as the eagle and spread his wings over Bozra. And at that day shall the heart of the mighty men of Edom be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. Here again is that eagle and the woman being in pangs as the result. It says concerning Damascus, Hamath is confounded and Arpad, for they have heard evil tidings. They are faint-hearted. There is sorrow on the sea. It cannot be quiet. Okay, this one here, it says, behold, he shall come up and fly as the eagle and spread his wings over Bozrah. So I'm not sure if that is the judgment or not, but it does say as the heart of a woman in her pangs. So it sounds like it is. Okay, the next one is Ezekiel 17, and we'll start that one in verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 17 and verse 1. And it says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, put forth a riddle. You know, God loves his riddles. He's got riddles all throughout the scriptures for us to find out. And I'll tell you what, that deal in Daniel chapter 7, you talk about a riddle. That one is so complicated to me. The Lord has given me a lot of stuff, but that one there, it's going to take some to understand that. I'll tell you what, it's hard. And if you stop and think about it, people have been trying to solve those scriptures since the beginning, since we had the word to begin with. Praise God. We've been trying to solve it. So if God gives us any little pieces, praise God for it. Sorry, I had to get a drink. All right, Ezekiel 17, verse 1 says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, put forth a riddle and speak a parable unto the house of Israel. See, the parables, they are like riddles. But if we understand the parable of the sower, then that opens us up to be able to understand the other parables. You've got to get the basics first. That foundation of the word being the seed that God sends from above and plants in the earth. All right, it says, there's my cat in the on. I'm going to squirt you. You want me to squirt you? She hid behind the chair. I don't know if you could hear a meow or not, but it was kind of loud. Verse 2 of Ezekiel 17 says, Son of man, put forth a riddle and speak a parable unto the house of Israel. And say, thus saith the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long-winged, full of feathers, which had diverse colors, came unto Lebanon and took the highest branch of the cedar. Here's a great eagle with great wings and takes the highest branch of the cedar. Well, it sure sounds like that might be the enemy lifting himself up against God, but I'm not sure. That's what it sounds like to me right now. We'll read on and see if that's what it's talking about. It says, and say, thus saith the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long-winged, full of feathers, which had diverse colors, came unto Lebanon and took the highest branch of the cedar. He cropped off the top of his young twigs and carried it into a land of traffic. He set it in a city of merchants. Well, that sounds like Mystery Babylon the Great, the city of merchants. It says, he took also of the seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field. He placed it by great waters and set it as a willow tree. And it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned toward him, and the roots thereof were under him, so that it became a vine and brought forth branches and shot forth sprigs. Now look at this. Here's another eagle in here, not just one. It says, there was also another great eagle with great wings and many feathers, and behold, this vine did bend her roots toward him. That almost sounds like the bride of Christ, but I'm not sure yet. It says, and behold, this vine did bend her roots toward him and shot forth her branches toward him that he might water it by the furrows of her plantation. It was planted in a good soil by great waters, that it might bring forth branches, and that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine. Okay, this goodly vine, that gives you a clue. This must be talking about that first eagle being the Lord. Wait a minute, I'm not sure. Okay, the first one would be the Lord. The second one would be the bride of Christ, it sounds like, because that's the vine. We become the branches on the vine. But I'm not sure yet, okay? It sounds like that was the original planting of the Lord. Verse 8 says, it was planted in a good soil by great waters that it might bring forth branches. And that's the purpose that God planted Jesus in the earth to begin with. It says that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine. Say thou, thus saith the Lord God, shall it prosper? Shall he not pull up the roots thereof and cut off the fruit thereof, that it wither? It shall wither in all the leaves of her spring, even without great power or many people to pluck it up by the roots. Okay, it does sound like it's the enemy, the devil, and getting the church to follow him. It's so hard to know on these scriptures. You've got to look at every single clue to try to discern which one it's actually talking about. But if it's getting plucked up, it probably wasn't of the Lord. Verse 10 says, yea, behold, being planted, shall it prosper? Shall it not utterly wither when the east wind toucheth it? It shall wither in the furrows where it grew. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, say now to the rebellious house. It's got to be it. It's got to be the enemy. It says, say now to the rebellious house, know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon has come to Jerusalem, and hath taken the king thereof and the princes thereof, and led them with him to Babylon. So there's the eagle. And the other eagle is the church, the people of Israel that followed him instead of following God. Sure looks like it. It says in verse 12, say now to the rebellious house, know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon has come to Jerusalem and hath taken the king thereof and the princes thereof and led them with him to Babylon and hath taken of the king's seed and made a covenant with him and hath taken an oath of him. He hath also taken the mighty of the land that the kingdom might be based, that it might not lift up itself, but that by keeping of his covenant it might stand. But he rebelled against him in sending his ambassadors into Egypt, that they might give him horses and much people. Shall he prosper? Shall he escape that doeth such things? Or shall he break the covenant and be delivered? As I live, saith the Lord, surely in the place where the king dwelleth, that made him king, whose oath he despised and whose covenant he brake, even with him in the midst of Babylon, he shall die. And it says, neither shall Pharaoh with his mighty army and great company make for him in the war by casting up mounts and building forts to cut off many persons, seeing he despised the oath by breaking the covenant. When lo, he had given his hand and had done all these things, he shall not escape. So somehow it ends up being to the enemy, the two eagles, from the sound of things. Praise God. Verse 19 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely mine oath that he hath despised, and my covenant that he hath broken, even it will I recompense upon his own head. And I will spread my net upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, and will plead with him there for his trespass that he has trespassed against me. Well, when the enemy convinces God's children to go and serve him instead, judgment's going to come. Verse 20 says, and I will spread my net upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, and will plead with him there for his trespass. And the scriptures tell us that God will plead with all flesh. It says, and will plead with him there for his trespass, that he has trespassed against me. And all his fugitives with all his bands shall fall by the sword, and they that remain shall be scattered toward all winds. And ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also take of the highest branch of the high cedar and will set it. I will crop off the top of his young twigs, a tender one, and will plant it upon and a high mountain. So first it talks about the eagle doing this, and then it talks about God is going to do it. Sounds like the enemy tried to do it, and then God is going to do it, and what he plants, it's going to remain forever. It says, thus saith the Lord God, I will also take of the highest branch of the high cedar and will set it. I will crop off from the top of his young twigs a tender one, and will plant it upon an high mountain and in it. In the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a goodly cedar, and under it shall dwell all the fowl of every wing. In the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell, and all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken it. So it sounds like it was the enemy that took it all over, and God's taken it back. Okay, but I'm not absolutely positive on those eagle's wings at the beginning of that chapter, if it was actually the enemy or if it was the Lord. I'm just not positive on that. Sorry. Okay, let me see the next one on eagle's wings. That's actually the one in Daniel. So we'll go to Revelation 12 is the next one. And in fact, that's our last one on eagle wings. Revelation chapter 12. Let's go there. And about verse 14. Praise God. Thanks for sticking with me, Greg. Let me see where I want to start. Yeah, verse 9 of Revelation 12 says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." That's the same picture as Lucifer being cast down. And the Pharaoh and all of those others that the scriptures talks about. It says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them." That's also the picture of Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots being cast down, because that's all the same picture. It says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw," here it's talking about devil, and then the next verse says dragon, because it's one and the same. It says, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle." So here, it's definitely talking about the Spirit of God is these wings of a great eagle that carries the woman away, because it's bringing her to protection. It says, "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she should fly, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time, a times, and half a time from the face of the serpent." And that's the Spirit of God feeding the church. It says, "And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood." Now see, just like God carries us on wings of eagles, here is him casting out the water of a flood out of his mouth, trying to carry her away. He wants us to depend on him and be carried by his wings instead of being carried by the wings of God. So he tries to carry us with his flood, which would also be a picture of the wings carrying away the spirit, his spirit, instead of the Spirit of God. It says, "And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth." So here it's called the serpent and then the dragon, but they both cast out the flood out of their mouth because they're one and the same. It says, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." All right, so obviously from the scriptures, you've got a picture of the enemy having the wings as an eagle and the picture of God carrying us as wings as an eagle, which fits because there is the devil tries to replace God in every way. And so the scriptures are going to show that picture. All right, let's go back to Daniel and let's read a little bit more of this and see if we can figure out any more of this. Daniel 7, verse 4 says, "The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings," which is a picture of that Assyrian, the very common picture on the internet of an Assyrian as a man's head has wings and it's a lion's body. And it sure sounds like this is the Assyrian. says, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. All right, there is another picture in the scriptures that talks about eagle's claws, and that also was in the book of Daniel. And I'm wondering if this isn't also talking about the same one when Nebuchadnezzar was humbled and made to eat grass as an ox. Praise God. Let me see if I can find that one, because that's also in the book of Daniel. And remember, in the book of Revelation, one of the beasts of heaven was an ox. And in Daniel chapter 4, he was made to eat grass as an ox. This again was Nebuchadnezzar. Praise God. I think this is finally starting to come together, this picture. Let me find where I want to start. This is going to be in Daniel chapter 4. Verse 20. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 20. Because there's four beasts in heaven, and then it's talking about four beasts in the book of Daniel. And in heaven, one of them was an ox. And if the devil's trying to replace God in every way, he would also have a beast as an ox. And here you have in Daniel chapter 4, this picture, verse 20 of Daniel chapter 4 says, the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven. Remember the tree that reached up into heaven in the scriptures we were just in, and how God cropped off the top of that tree? It says, the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven. That's a picture of Lucifer trying to lift himself up and on high. The devil is always trying to lift himself up and replace God. It says, the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto heaven, unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. That sounds just like that those scriptures we were just in the book of Ezekiel. Praise God. It says, it is thou, O king, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reached unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one come down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the root thereof in the earth. Remember the cockatrice that come out of the root? Praise God. It looks like these are all connected together. It says, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven. And, okay, look at the grass of the field and wet with the dew of heaven. What happened in Deuteronomy when the doctrine of God comes down as the rain upon the tender grass? And here you have dew upon grass. It's a duplicate, except this is the doctrine of the devil instead of the word of God. It's the opposite. Praise God. It says, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times Passover. Notice the words, let his portion be with the beasts of the field. And there's four beasts. Praise God. This is awesome. Let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord, the king. Hey, it's good to have you in there, Reno. We're talking about the four beasts of Daniel, chapter 7. But right now, we're looking at a little type and shadow in Daniel 4:24. It says, this is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord, the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. There's the beasts of the field again. It says, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. And he does tries to consume our flesh with his lies. And the flesh is as the grass. So that also would fit. To eat grass as oxen, and they shall, and notice the oxen part of this. And one of the beasts of heaven had the face, or was an ox. It says, shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. So it's a humbling, just like the devil is cast down to the earth, okay, and showed that he's but a man. All right, verse 27 says, wherefore, O king, let thy counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by shewing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is this not great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of thy majesty? And this is just like the devil lifting himself up, claiming that he did it all on his own, that God didn't have anything to do with this. And this is why he was humbled. It says, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power for the honor of my majesty? Well, there's one majesty we're supposed to be given honor to, and it's not the king of Babylon. It says, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men. Now watch this. It says, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers. Here are eagle's feathers. And in Daniel chapter 7, in verse 4, it says, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. And here, this Nebuchadnezzar eats grass as an oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers. Here's the eagle's feathers again. And it says, and his nails like birds' claws. Praise God. So you have the eagle's feathers and the bird claws. Sure sounds like the same one to me. It says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? I thought this had something about the heart, though, and I don't see that yet. I thought that a beast's heart was given to him, but I don't see that in here. Let me see if I can find where that's at. Because I thought a beast's heart was given to him, where in the other one, a man's heart was given to that beast. But that would also fit because men, God manifests men that they are actually beasts. So a man's heart and a beast's heart would fit in there. Let me see if I can find where that was at. Yeah, in Daniel 4, verse 16, it said, let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. So he was given a beast's heart, where the other one had a man's heart. So I'm not sure about that. But if we look at this beast heart, there's other scriptures that talk about this. So let's go in there. Let's look at this one in Ecclesiastes first, because it shows that men and beasts are one and the same. And that's Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 18. So having a man's heart and a beast's heart could be the same, but I'm not sure. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 18 says, I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men that God might manifest them. This is the sons of men, that God might manifest them, that they might see that they themselves are beasts. When God manifests what we truly are, it's going to be shown that we ourselves are beasts. Okay. All right, I want to find these other scriptures that talk about a beast's heart. Let's see. We had that one in Daniel 4. And then there's one in Daniel 5. Daniel is so complicated. Daniel 5 and about verse 21. Let me see where I want to start that. Okay, we'll start in verse 18. Daniel chapter 5 and verse 18. See, if we don't have God's word written in our heart, we would have the word of the devil instead, which would fit the beast's heart. Daniel 5, verse 18 says, O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. So this is actually directed at Nebuchadnezzar's son. It says, and it's telling about what God did to Nebuchadnezzar. So that's probably why the beast's heart is in here. It says, O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. That also sounds like the devil. It says, and when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. So here's that beast's heart. His heart was made like the beast. Okay. Okay, let me see if there's another one. Let's This one is in Hosea 13, but it's not actually talking about the beast's heart. But I'm going to bring it up anyways because this talks about a bear. And one of the beasts in Daniel is a bear. Praise God. And this shows that this particular bear is the Lord himself, that he will meet them as a bear. So we're going to go to Hosea 13 and verse 1. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 1 says, "When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding. All of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud." Now it's funny how they've got this, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. That almost sounds like the golden calf that they lifted up in place of God after they came out of Egypt. Kissing the calves, it almost sounds like that's where their devotion is to what they make instead of God. Because it's talking about their images. It says, "And now they sin more and more and have made themselves molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding. All of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves." So it sounds like that they're kissing these images that they're making. It says, "Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passeth away." And here was the dew that came upon Nebuchadnezzar. That the dew of heaven was upon him. And here, they shall be as the morning cloud. It says, "Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passeth away." Praise God. It says, "As the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor." So that particular dew there sounds like what he was eating of, the dew of heaven, the grass and the dew, that's men. And sounds like the deception instead. Praise God. It says, "Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney." And that's the ones that exalt themselves against God. They fit all of those things. All right, it says, "Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt." So he's comparing himself to them. It says, "Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought, according to their pastors, so they were filled." They're filling themselves with something besides him, is the picture. It says, "According to their pastors, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was forgotten me." Now it's not talking about just one person being lifted themselves up, but this is a general application to anyone that lifts themselves up against God. It says, "I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pastor, so they were filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them," watch this, "as a lion." Because if we're lifting up, for example, this Assyrian in place of God, he comes to them. That's who they think is God. And so it says, "I will be unto them as a lion." That's the God they want to serve. So he's going to give them over to them as that lion. It says, "Therefore I will be unto them as a lion. As a leopard by the way will I observe them." Here's the lion and the leopard. And then you got the bear in the very next verse. And it's the Lord gives them over to the lies, and they still think it's God. And so that is why he will be to them as a lion, as a leopard, by the way, will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart. Notice the heart again. And there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. He's given them over to Satan, but it's him that is doing it. And they think that it's truth, but it's not. And he appears to them as these others. Praise God. And that fits in with those beasts, I think, from Daniel 7. Because you've got the bear, you've got the leopard. Oh, praise God. And let's see. You've got the lion, the leopard, and the bear. I thought there was another one. So the Lord, they think it's the Lord, but it's not. He appears to them as those. In Daniel 7, verse 3, it says, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. So there's the lion. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given unto it. There's that Assyrian. It says, and behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. So here's the lion and the bear. And then the next one, it says, after this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. So there's three of them. What's the other one? After this, in verse 7, it says, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. That sounds like the dragon, because the dragon has 10 horns. It says, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. Okay. Which, let's see, another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as the burning fire. I was just looking to see if it had any more on those beasts. Okay, it does in verse 12. It says, as concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man come with the clouds of heaven. Okay, let's deal with these beasts. Okay, we'll look at the 10 horns. We already see that the Lord himself will come as a leopard. He comes as a bear and as a lion, according to Hosea chapter 13. Praise God. So that's how the Lord's going to appear to them. All right, as those beasts. Okay, Hosea 13, verse 5 says, I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pastors, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. So if they forget him, then he's going to give them over to the other one. And they think it's him, and that's why it's as him appearing to them. That's why it says that in the scripture. It says, therefore, I will be unto them as a lion. That's the curse. Instead of the blessing, they've got the curse. The word of God is to them a curse if they won't receive it. Okay, and that's why he says, he will be unto them as a lion. It says, therefore, I will be unto them as a lion. As a leopard, by the way, will I observe them. There's the curse coming to them. It says, I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps. and will rend the call of their heart. So the enemy is eating their heart because they wouldn't receive the love of the truth planted in their hearts, so the enemy has their hearts instead. Oh, praise God. It's finally starting to come together. It says in verse 7, therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way, will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. Notice, he says, I will devour them like a lion, and then he says, the wild beast shall tear them. It's the word is either a blessing to us or it's a curse to us. It's one or the other. It says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities and thy judges of whom thou hast said, give me a king and princes? It says, I gave thee a king in mine anger and took him away in my wrath. That's the wrath of the Lord. That lion and that bear and that leopard, that is the wrath of the Lord. Also, the dragon has the 10 horns. So we're going to look at the 10 horns. Praise God. That is absolutely awesome that God is opening that up. I want to see, first off, before I go to the 10 horns, though, I want to see if there's any other scriptures on the beast's heart. So let me check that. Okay, that's the only ones on that. Okay, now let's go to 10 horns, because the other beast, the clue that we have on this fourth beast is that it has 10 horns. And that was in Daniel 7, verse 7. It says, and this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. Because remember, it tries to devour. It's got its rod also, which God's rod is the rod of iron. Well, if it's the curse, you've got that, it would still be the iron. It says, and it had great iron teeth, it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So when you look up 10 horns, that's what I'm going to do, and see where all that is, because I know in the book of Revelation it talks about the 10 horns that the dragon has. Praise God. Let me see where else. I'm just skimming through them. I just put in the word 10 and horns. So I got to skim through and find them. Daniel 7 is one. And then Revelation 12 is the next one. Praise God. So what's in Daniel 7 is also talked about in Revelation 12. So let's go there, Revelation 12 and verse 1. I was beginning to think that I wasn't never going to understand what Daniel 7 was talking about, but I'm starting to see some of the pieces come together. Praise God. All right, Revelation 12 verse 1 says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Now watch this picture, because it has 7 heads and 10 horns. And in order to understand Daniel chapter 7, we're going to have to be able to remember what this is talking about in the book of Revelation, because you're going to have pieces in both of these. In Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation 13, Revelation 17, and let's see if there's any more. So you've got Revelation 17, Revelation 13, and Revelation 12 all has keys. along with Daniel chapter 7. So when you put all of these together, you'll start to be able to see this picture a little bit clearer. That's how God does it. All right, Revelation 12, verse 3, it says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads." Now, those seven heads, just like God has seven spirits, okay? Well, here you have seven heads, and I think that is a duplicate for the seven spirits of God. I think the devil is trying to replace God in every way, and so you have him having seven heads. It says, and in fact, let me pull up another one and see if seven heads is actually in here any other place before we do this. Out of curiosity. Because if it is, then there should be a clue in there. I'm just skimming through. Nope, the only ones that has the heads looks like is the dragon. Okay. All right. So we'll go back to Revelation. Wherever I was. Praise God. I got so many of these open. Revelation 12, verse 3. It says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads." So in this one, he has seven heads, ten horns, and seven crowns upon his heads. Well, in another one, it's got ten crowns upon the ten horns, okay? This one has seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. All right, let me pull up another one because there's one with seven horns that God has. And that's where I got the horns and the heads sound like one and the same. Okay, let me find the scripture with the seven horns. Okay, the seventh priest blew the trumpets of ram's horns, had seven trumpets of ram's horns. Okay, the seven spirits of God is a duplicate for the seven horns. I know that for sure. Let me find the scriptures. Seven horns is in here several times. Yeah, here it actually tells you what the horns are. In Revelation 5, verse 6. And I think those horns and those heads are a duplicate. The devil tries to replace God in every way. All right, Revelation 5, verse 6 says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain." Now watch this. Here's the Lamb of God that has, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Okay, so here is the seven horns as the seven spirits of God. All right, now, isn't it amazing that the devil has seven heads? Okay, to me, that looks like the same picture, like him trying to duplicate God. I don't understand why he's got the 10, though. That's the part that I don't get yet, and I'm hoping the Lord will open that up one of these days. So let's go back to Revelation 12, verse 3. "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads. Instead of the lamb having seven horns, the dragon has seven heads and 10 horns. And seven crowns upon his head." So if the ten horns represent spirits, it sounds like he would have ten instead of seven. So I'm not sure. I don't quite understand that. It says, "Having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So you've got 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon the head. Well, eventually it's going to show the horns also have crowns. So let me find where that one's at. Yeah, here it is in Revelation 13 and verse 1. Put that in the chat room. That's Revelation 13 and verse 1. It says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast. Here's a beast again, okay? Remember, you've got the beast in the book of Daniel that raises up out of the sea, okay? And here, the four beasts come out of the sea in the book of Daniel. Let me find that scripture. Let's see. Verse 3 of Daniel 7 says, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse, one from another. And in Revelation, you see, in Revelation 13, 1, it shows a beast rise up out of the sea. Okay? And the sea is a picture within the scriptures. The sea is a picture of men, just like the grass is a picture of men. Goodness. The sea is also a picture of it can be a picture of the word of the enemy, like the flood that the dragon cast out of his mouth to carry away the woman. That can also be the sea that the beast rises up from, because there's a scripture that talks about the dragon being in the sea. Hopefully that'll be within here. I'm not sure if it is or not. All right, verse 1 of Revelation 13 again says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns. So there's 10 horns, and on those horns are 10 crowns. Well, in the other one, there was 7 crowns upon the 7 heads. So you've got a total of 17 crowns, because you've got the crowns upon the heads and the crowns upon the horns. So far, we see that much. It says, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Instead of the name of God, you've got the name of blasphemy instead, because this is what he does. He blasphemes God. He tries to replace God in our hearts. So that is blasphemy. And it says, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. Praise God. Here's the leopard in the book of Revelation. And we saw one of those beasts in the book of Daniel was as a leopard. And we know the Lord comes to those that are in rebellion as a leopard. Just like he sends the spirit of devils upon those that rebel against him. Praise God. That's the cursings of the word. Okay, so it says, in his mouth, let's see. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear. So here's the four beasts, looks like. It says, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Well, one of the beasts was a leopard. One of the beasts was a bear, and one of them was a lion with eagle's wings. So there's the four beasts right there. Praise God. And the dragon is the other one. Awesome. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. It says, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. So it's one beast that has all of these qualities. It's all the same beast. Praise God. You know, those four beasts in Daniel, those are actually one beast, and it's the dragon behind all of them. It says, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And the dragon's the one that has the 7 heads and 10 horns. That's the fourth beast of Daniel 7. Awesome! Praise God! Thank you, Lord. It's coming together. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Revelation 13:2 again, and we're almost at the end. It says, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." All right. We'll have to get back into this, Lord willing, Sunday night. But it's awesome. This is finally starting to come together. Praise God. I have wanted to understand Daniel 7 for so long, and I think it's finally starting to come together. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Lord willing, we'll get back to it again Sunday night. And if I'm up to it also, by the way. Let me get Numbers chapter 6 and read to you what the Lord always wants me to read at the end of the program. Verse 24 of number 6 says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." May God bless and keep each and every one of you in his saving grace. And thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come and spend it with me as we got into these scriptures. Praise God. Thank you so much for being here. Have a wonderful night in the Lord, and may you all have sweet dreams in Jesus. And thanks all those that hear this in the archives also. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone, when my heart had no song, still in love, he proved faithful to me. The day.